Thank you, Pastor Elijah and David for helping. Praise the Lord. Well, this is our part three, and we are talking about the Antichrist versus the glorious church. And it's been good today. I can't believe how time has fly, and sort of getting used to the place, and then we're moving again. A month here, and I can imagine 2 months here, my next trip. Praise the Lord. I think getting used to the right side driving, and when I get back, I got to get used to the left side driving again. Hallelujah. And then when you keep doing both, and then, okay, both become automatic, right? And which side do they drive in Jamaica? Oh, follow British style. Okay, is that a British or American? Yeah. Oh, okay. Praise God. So they follow Australia and Singapore. All right. Praise the Lord. God has been good. And today, Friday, we are praying right through to Saturday. And then we have Sunday. And then I guess this Sunday is my last. There's Saturday. Yes, there's a broadcast tomorrow night to Singapore. And so, okay, I got to remember that is Sunday that. Yeah, that's right. Saturday night, Sunday. And then we have the Sunday, and then Monday, and yay, I'm on my way home. Just looking forward to the hot weather again. Not that I don't enjoy the cold weather, but I just like to just wear one layer. And praise the Lord. And it's all. But I remember your summers here so hot. The last altar building was very, very hot. Yeah. So my next time come back is Sunday, summertime. I see. Consider this part three of the Antichrist versus the glorious church, and looking at what other parts that we want to bring forth and the fullness of time in this, we want to talk more and compare to what the intentions of the enemy are versus what God has allowed his glorious church to do. As we look at these 2 points in part three tonight, let's go to God in prayer, as always. Father, you are the giver of all understanding, revelation, and wisdom. We love you so much. We love you with an undivided heart. For we know, Father, that without Jesus, we are nothing. And to surrender to your perfect will is all that we want to do. Nothing more and nothing less. We just want to do your will, Father, to be your very breath and life on this earth. The world may know you. This planet which you created to know you, to love you, to worship you, to be restored back to its fullness. And all the inhabitants on this planet. We ask so, Father God, you continue to bring this understanding to our heart and mind. And especially tonight as we pray, you give each one of us a fresh vision of the glorious church. While at the same time not being naive, but being knowledgeable and understanding all the plans of the enemy are. For we know that even though we live in this tiny little quadrant of time on this earth that remains on this planet, that what is done here and what is achieved here has a reflection all the way into the millennium. And all the way into the new Jerusalem glory, new heaven and the new earth. And all our roles that we play today, and all the parts that we fulfill, will have a place in the eternal kingdom of new heaven and new earth. So help each one of us to realize that, O Father. We know the enemy is already defeated in Christ. And it's just a matter of time to wrap everything up and put evil away. Our Father, it's not evil that you're concerned about, for you already defeated evil in Christ. But it's us, your children, that you're concerned about. how we overcome evil through Christ. So as Christ has overcome all evil and defeated the enemy, we pray that you give a vision of the glorious church to all of how we can individually and corporately overcome evil in all that is around, that we can triumph as Christ so desires us to triumph. Thank you, Father, for teaching us your word. Glorify Jesus in our midst, and we lift him high in our midst, that all may see Jesus in all the fullness of his glory. Help us to glorify Jesus even more and more, both in our personal and corporate life. That Jesus may be our breath, our life, our all in all, the beginning and the end, our everything, Father. So we bless you, Father. We bless you, O Lord Jesus. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit. And we bless all the angels that work with us. Strengthen each one of them by name. And bless your people, Father, and strengthen each one by your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your grace and mercy as you pour forth the spirit of wisdom and revelation over each heart and mind, causing us to understand way beyond what we could even in our own self. By your Spirit, we will understand. Release that, Father, in Jesus' name. And everyone say, amen. Now, the best way for us to understand the plans of the enemy is to see when the Lord permit him to fully reign on the earth. So if you don't mind, we need to have a glimpse of the tribulation and then work backwards from there. Because the tribulation is where he is permitted by God. And remember, God is so powerful that only when God permits can he do anything. And when God permits, you know he has already everything under his control. So let's have a glimpse at the tribulation and then work backwards from there to see how and what his intentions are. And of course, the tribulation is especially found in the book of Revelation. So let's look at the book of Revelation. And I'd like to start from verse 12. Chapter 12, rather, not verse 12. Revelation chapter 12. In Revelation chapter 12, it says there in verse 1, "Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars." This woman represents Israel. "Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head. He still drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child. As soon as it was born, she bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now, not 1,260 days. Divided by 360, taking a perfect year, 360, you will get exactly 3.5. So you're talking about 3.5 years, which is 360 plus 360 plus 360, and plus another half of 360. So you get 3.5 years of the tribulation. Verse 7, "And war broke out in heaven." It's been going on all the time, but it says, "War broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Verse 7 talks about the tribulation. The tribulation began, and all these are simultaneous. Can you see three simultaneous events? I'll repeat again from where I start. First event is this woman, and she gave birth to this child. And this child, of course, everyone knows is Christ. But the thing about this woman is, after she gave birth to this child, she ran to the wilderness in verse 6. Then the woman fled into the wilderness. Now we know that after Christ was released and ascended on high, in the book of Acts chapter 1, the ascension of Christ, that Israel still didn't go into the wilderness. Indeed, actually, Israel in AD 70 was conquered by General Titus of the Roman Empire. The exact date is AD 70, is marked in history. And then, in a way, they went into a type of no country. They were countryless. So there was a type of wilderness. But that wilderness lasted for nearly 2,000 years until 1948 when they came together again. So that was not the 1,260 days. No way. No way can you fit 1,260 into that 2,000-year period. Then that period is very special. What is that period before this woman? This woman definitely represents Israel. So there's no doubt about it. This woman represents Israel. The child represents Christ. But you know where's the gap? There's a gap of 2,000 years between the time when Christ ascended on high, let's say plus or minus AD 30, let's say, since he's born just before. Christ was not born exactly 0 AD. Our calendar is not so accurate. According to dates, which I have a series called The Life of Christ. And it's actually a harmony of the Gospels, where we teach from the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, combine them together, put them in chronological order, and we taught from there. And the notes are actually online. You follow the series, you go online in that series, you find that I have my harmony of the Gospels as a note form in PDF online. So we taught from those notes, harmony of the Gospels. And we mentioned about the approximate date in our calendar in which Christ was born. And I talk about around 4 BC, plus or minus. And so, let's say he ascended around AD 30, easy counting. It's still been nearly 2,000 years when Israel came together as a nation. And then up to today, the dragon hasn't come down yet. Or Michael hasn't chased the dragon all the way down to the planet Earth. And that happens at a different time. Between that time is this mystery called the child, singular. And the child was taken up. May I present you this, that Christ and the church was never separated. And I give you Bible verses. Christ is the head, correct? Christ is the head. We are his body. Is it complete if the head ascends without the body? Not complete. Logic defies it. We are 100% his body. You have many verses for that. 1 Corinthians, when you talk about nine gifts in chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4, we the church grow into the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 5, we're the flesh of his flesh and the bone of his bone. And then it is obvious that we are the body of Christ. So what happened is this mystery, that even though it's singular Christ, Christ ascending and the rapture in the timeline of God, is considered that only when the rapture takes place is, quote unquote, the child fully ascended. And that is why some scholars have said, could the child be the remnant or the special rapture generation? I say, yes, there's an element of truth. See, everything put together has an element of truth. But the child has to represent Christ. It's obvious that the rapture takes place because Christ is in fullness in his church. Everything is about Jesus Christ. So the reason why I have to point out here is this, that this child is so important that Satan, especially you look at what Satan was trying to do, even when this woman was giving birth, and it says in verse 4, the dragon stood before the woman ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. Was that the scenario when Jesus was born? On the first day of Christmas. Where was the dragon? I didn't see the dragon. I saw only the angels. Glory to God in the highest. Remember that? Peace, goodwill and peace to all men. Where's the dragon? Where's the dragon supposed to be outside the manger, ready to swallow or something? Where was the dragon? There was all these angels. But we know throughout his life, Satan had tried to destroy him. After he was born, and when he was growing up between 1 to 2 years old, Herod tried to destroy him, killing every child under 2 years old. Well, that was a massacre, terrible. Terrible time. And then we have throughout his life, Satan tried to manifest, but in the testing, when Jesus was fully matured as a 30-year-old man, he went into the wilderness after being baptized with the Holy Spirit. He easily confronted Satan. Remember, Satan confronted him, tested him for 40 days and 40 nights, and also the last three temptations after the 40 days. Jesus had no problem with him. Instead of Satan trying to swallow him up, we have Satan trying to deceive him. If you are the Son of God. Trying to offer him the world if Jesus will bow down to him. So, how was this dragon with the open mouth ready to swallow this child? Well, because this child represents both Christ, and of course, Christ being the head, the dragon is very afraid of him. I see no way in which Jesus was ever disturbed. Not even one of his hair was shaken when he confronted Satan. But you know who the people are sometimes shaking? The believers in Christ who don't know their place in God. The believers in Christ, who don't know who they are in Christ. And that's who Satan tried to deceive. To try to deceive the elect, if possible. And he has been attacking the church for 2,000 years. Because it's like Christ has ascended and he wants his body to ascend. So the picture of the glorious church was not complete until every last member in the body of Christ become glorified like him. We are his body. We are his flesh of flesh and bone of bones. We are his arms, his leg, his feet. And that was the part of the other fullness that came for. Although it was one event, it was spread out in our history. Remember, all these are allegorical. It's spread out in our history over 2,000 years. And I believe that the child represents both. I'm not taking one view, I'm taking both views. both Christ and the rapture. Because immediately after the rapture, true Israel has to go to the wilderness exactly 1,260 days. Exactly 1,260 days. And so there were three events. Remember I said three events happened at the same time. First event was this woman gave birth to this child. This child rises up. And we interpret the child. We took time to interpret that the child is definitely Jesus. And inside him is also the rapture generation, the church. Finally, the church comes out. And remember, only when the church fully evacuate from planet Earth does this event take place, that the woman has to go to the wilderness. And this wilderness area is mentioned in the book of Daniel. It's the only place where the Antichrist cannot go in. And that is the area of Ammon, Moab, and Edom. As prophesied in the Bible. And so the second event that took place, first event is Christ's ascension and the rapture. Second event, all these take place same time. It's like all in nanoseconds. Boom. And that's it. Look like one event. You know, when we all think that things go slow motion, the church go up. Then what happened? Oh, the woman go sideways. Then Satan go. No, the whole thing took place. So the sound is like, that's it. It's like one event, all taking place at the same time. And then the woman goes to the wilderness. Second event. Third event, Michael, who was already, pushed Satan and all the fallen angels are pushed to the planet Earth surface. They're not even to go outside the atmosphere. That's how restricted they became. It was a special event. And these three events happened at the same time. But let's look and make sure we have all our Bible knowledge all in store. Remember the wilderness? Okay, which part of the wilderness in your mind you're thinking? Okay, tell me, which part of the wilderness? Well, look at Daniel. The book of Daniel, and chapter 11, and he talked about the king of the north and king of the south, and some people say Antiochus Epiphanes the fourth fulfilled the king of the north in some of the things he did, but there's a dual prophecy, there's a historical fulfillment, but then there are some things that the king of the north, even Antiochus Epiphanes the fourth, did not fulfill, and it points to the Antichrist. So it says, it talks about some of the things that happened to and fro, the attack between them. Chapter looking here, after the blasphemies that he has, is corrupted. We see here in chapter 40, then in chapter 11 was 40. At the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him, and the king of the north shall come against him like whirlwind with chariots, horsemen, with many ships. Then verse 41, he shall also enter the glorious land. Yes, indeed, the Antichrist will enter the glorious land. Ah, yes, I remember that. Here we got it. Yes. Okay. So the Antichrist will enter the glorious land. Let's see how good it is. All right. And he shall enter the glorious land. I put it right on top there. He shall enter the glorious land. Okay. Right. Okay. Now I'm just watching myself on the screen. That is reverse. Okay. And he shall It says that he shall enter the glorious land. He will enter Israel. And many countries shall be overthrown. But these are the three places he cannot go in. Edom, Moab, and the prominent people of Ammon. These three countries are in the eastern side of the Jordan today. And they are in our modern country of Jordan. And that's the place that we always go called Madaba. And then Mukave. And this September, we're going there. And we're building an altar on the highest mountain. No, we're not exactly climbing the highest mountain, but towards the foot of the mountain of the general region. We're going there to build an altar. And then we have an all-night prayer there. It's called Wadi Ram. We will be at Wadi Ram for one all-night prayer. Then we're actually staying at the Red Sea in Agaba. And that's the nearest place to transport there. Then we're going to Mount Nebo. We have one all-night prayer in Mount Nebo. And then we're going to Mokave twice. Two all-night prayer. So some people say, wow, do we ever see our hotel rooms? Well, you one more all-night prayer, you won't see your hotel room, except in the daytime. Well, we might as well came out. Well, so you wish, but where do you bathe and change, put your luggage? And so that is an important region. That's why we are going there. Because there's another rapture taking place from there, the mid-tribulation rapture. So let me describe some things happening in the tribulation. Then we bring it back to what the enemy is trying to do. So you know where the woman ran through the wilderness. These are the regions that the woman ran through. Again, three things that take place in the Bible simultaneously. Let's look back at Revelations. And when this woman fled, I want you to note the words 1,260 days. 1,260 days. Then it tells us that the dragon was cast down, and then he went and persecute, and he tried to persecute a woman, but the woman went to the wilderness in verse 14. We are still in chapter, now we are Revelation chapter 12, verse 14. And she was nourished a time, times, and half a time. Now that gives us a mystery solved. Because since the woman was in the wilderness for 1,260 days, and since the Bible talked about time, times, and half a time, the two phrases mean the same thing. Just like the Bible says to Abraham in Genesis 15, that your descendants will go for 400 years in a land of that in a stranger in a land, and they will sojourn there for 400 years, and then in the fourth generation they will come out. Simple math: one generation must equal 100 years. 400 years equal four generation, and so the two must be related logically. So if the woman went 1,260 days, and if they suddenly use this prophetic phrase called time, times, and half a time, the two are equal. Time, times, and half a time is actually talking about 3.5 years. It's another way. In fact, the word time is just like a number. And then when they say times in plurality, they mean two. So what they're saying is 1, 2.5. But when we translate it, it sounds like time, times, and half a time. What in the world is that? In actual language, they just say 1, 2.5. So they're talking about 3.5 years again. Same flow. And then you see all the things that happen in between. But the interesting thing is that this Christ is still preached in the wilderness. Christ is still preached in the wilderness. Which brings us in verse 17. You see, there are those who are her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and keep the testimony of Jesus Christ. So they definitely know Jesus. Now, who is the one preaching Jesus to them? We bring it to chapter 11, Revelations Yes, Revelation chapter 11, which is one chapter before that, which introduced this subject of this subject here of the two witnesses in verse 3. Two witnesses in verse 3. Okay. Now you see the Bible used many phrases. Can you see the sentence before verse 3? We are in Revelation chapter 11. And it says, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. Okay, 42 months is how many years? Hey, I thought your math is very good. 12 plus 12 plus 12 plus 6. Correct? 12 plus 12 plus 36. 36 plus 6. 42? Yeah, God, 3.5 years. Yay, thank you very much. Isn't it strange that the Bible keep calling 3.5 so many things? Why don't they stay consistent? Right. Good question. You know who else know how to read the Bible? The devil and the devil's people. So when they read, they get confused. Oh. Maybe he's not so good at maths or calculus. No. So they couldn't interpret. Right. But for us, it's obvious. We're talking about the same thing. 42 months. So, 42 months. Just like, why should the great speech be? You know? And 70 years ago. What? What's the score? You know? Okay. So, 42 months. Still same thing. And then it says in verse 3. I will give power to my two witnesses. They will prophesy 1,260 days. Can you see the same number? 1,260 days. Cloth in sackcloth. Well, we already know what fashion they will have. The Bible determined their fashion. It is brown, brown, and brown. Cloth in sackcloth and ashes. I assume it's either gray or brownish. Right. So, wow. You know, they're going to prophesy. You know, I salute you, Enoch and Elijah. You know, I think our modern church, you know, we got so many colors. And can you imagine if you are told from now to the rapture, you got only one color to wear? Before they came, the Bible already told them not only what color to wear, what fashion to wear. Anyone, can you make sackcloth any more fashionable? You can't, because it cannot be too cheerful. It's a morning time, man. So, can you imagine, Enoch and Elijah, but they don't mind. I mean, they just came to do God's will. And we know the two witnesses, the two olive trees. Again, you see the number, 1,260 days. Now, here's the thing. These 1,260 are all in the first 3.5 years. All happened the first 3.5 years. Which means this is the fourth event. Remember I said three events happened? Zoom. Boom. This event. Ta-da. Right. Okay. The two suddenly turned up. Let's give them some music. Even if their clothing is not up to our standard kind of thing. Or rather, they are not permitted. I can tell you they are very fashionable up there. So, they might be looking forward to new clothing after that. So you go, shoop, prom, ta-da! All four events happen at the same time. Just at the same time. And these are the things, 1,260 days. Now, since we're in that area, and talking about these days and the number of days that are there, there are also some numbers that are in the book of Daniel. Let me get to those. times in the book of Daniel. Oh, we have the book of Daniel here. Okay. In talking to Daniel about the end times, and especially towards the end when the angel was actually speaking, we should actually ask God about the mystery of that. Let's see. The first part is verse 11 and verse 12 of chapter 12. Daniel, verse 11 and verse 12. And let's see how good you are at mathematics, whether you're better than the Antichrist. Antichrist only counts 666. Anyway, no. So, verse 11. And by the way, very strange. I bought this jacket in Canada long, long ago when I went to Vancouver to visit my son when he was doing his snowboarding thing. And I didn't notice it. After I bought it, after some time, do you know that of all the brands, this brand is called 686. I say, phew, good thing it was not 666. It would be interesting to wear 666 jacket brand and preach about the Antichrist. They just had to add, you know, they just had to add a 20 to make it 686 in the middle. So, praise the Lord. But it must be some Chinese company who believes in this number or something. Because if I my Chinese is very bad, but if I remember correctly, you know, isn't 6 a lucky number for them?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. See? I think in Cantonese.
Eight is the suspension of the lucky number.
Okay. Oh. So for Chinese to say, like I try to pronounce it, lock, right?
No,
I mean 666.
6 is prosperity.
I know. Tell me in Chinese, what is 666? What? Lok Pak Lok. Okay. I thought Lok. Sorry. I got it wrong. Okay. Okay. See? Funny. But the funny thing about the Chinese is they also love dragons. Okay. So anyway, now they, you know, we know the original Chinese language came from Noah. They really go into idolatry. Anyway, in verse 11, chapter 12, verse 11, and it says here, and from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Okay, quickly calculate. And let me say, what, Pastor? How to calculate? What to calculate? Which to calculate? I gave you the key. See, what was the key? Times and half a time. What? Okay, here another key. 42 months. What? Okay, make it easier for you. 1,260. Take away 1,260. You get a very simple number. Yes? 1,290. Minus 1,260. Hey, it should be a wrong number. 30, yes. 30, correct? Can you check, everyone check your maths? Right. It's just additional 30. It's just like, it's only, instead of 666, add 20, is 686. Right? So I add 20, they add 30. What was so special about that time? From the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away until the abomination is set up. Something special. We asked the Lord about that. And you know what was given the answer? Remember the four events? It all began with the rapture. See, the rapture is the key event. We go, and then boom, ta-da! So I don't have to tell you the event. You can tell by the sound. Okay. Boom, ta-da! Right. Four event. It all must start with the rapture. So the rapture was very important. Once a rapture takes place, these four things take place. But what about this event? These 30 days. Where to fit the 30 days? And that was when Enoch and Elijah told us. 30 days before the rapture, they will visit incognito, the church. So there is an overlap between us and them of 30 days. And they will start actually appearing to the church because it's like a transfer over. Us going, they coming. So 30 days before they reveal the world. So the ta-da actually is you. And then ta-da! So what happened is this. You all got the events ready? So there is this. Shum, ta-da! So you got it all? Okay. You have the secret appearance of Enoch and Elijah. Only the church people know and see. All in the glorious church. By that time, we are all in Australia. Everybody has moved to Australia. That will be around 2063, plus and minus a bit of time. And they will be getting ready. And then, that's the 30 days. But remember, the Bible also says something is getting prepared by the enemy. From the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. So, that is the extra 30 days that they came. That include. And then you have another set in verse 12. Look, 12 got more numbers there. It says, blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. Say, oh my, there's another figure. Easy again. Just take away 1,260. Tell me what you get. Your mind working over there?
75.
75, right? So there are 75 extra days. Correct? Now, the 75 extra days, remember when to count the 1,260? The 1,260 begin when the ta-da! Remember these four events. Yeah, don't count the. That one is the early 30. Okay. Just the four events for the 1,260 days. And after the 1,260 days, exactly, not one day more or less, exactly when the 1,260 days are finished, the mid-tribulation rapture takes place. The key is given in chapter 11 of the book of Revelations. It tells you exactly when their ministry finished. It says in verse 3, they will prophesy 1,260 days. There you go. Exactly. The last 3 days, they will allow themselves to be killed. Then, they will be raised up. And you see here that for 3.5 days, the whole world will see their body when they allow themselves to be killed. And by that time, the Antichrist is already ruling the world. These are resisting. And the place of the headquarters is in that eastern side of Jordan with 144,000. And they will be preaching the gospel. So the last 3.5 days, and then they rejoice like in Christmas time. In verse 10, can you see that? Those who dwell on the earth, those are the bad guys, rejoice over their death. Because as long as they are dead, they cannot be free to do what they want. They keep stopping them. Among the things that we know they stop them is that Enoch and Elijah stop another attempt to build the Tower of Babel. This is only when we are here in this month that the Lord revealed the Tower of Babel. Remember, the Tower of Babel was built by Nimrod. And in case you didn't know how tall it was, the Tower of Babel, which is where the original Babylon came from. Because Babel, derived, became Babylon. So the what I call the spiritual energy behind all Babylon is the Tower of Babel. And it's described in the Tower of Babel in chapter 11, verse 1 of Genesis. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. It came to pass as a journey from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there, and they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." Their bricks of stone, their asphalt for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city, a tower whose top is to the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves." Actually, their purpose was to defy God. Nimrod was ahead of it. When they say the call on the name of God, they were not calling on the name of our Yahweh God or El Shaddai. They were calling on false gods. And in downloads, we saw that the Tower of Babel was actually built using two mountains. But actually, when you got three dimensions, a third mountain that we recently saw. Before that, I always talk about the two mountains. But that was in this view, and beside view, you see the other, it's like a pyramid shape. And they use the mountains as the foot. And mountains are between valleys, and they fill up from the mountains upwards. It reached at least about 30,000 square foot. If you remember that about 30,000 square foot reaches into the height of most planes flying. Boeing 747, their planes are flying at that height. The tallest building that human, our modern world has built is the Burj Dubai, which is just under a kilometer. That's it. We are not building any higher. And that's you're talking about probably, 30,000 feet. You're talking about the height that aeroplanes fly, higher than Mount Everest, which there's no human building. And in visions, we saw that it was so high. And they haven't, that was not completed yet. Before the Lord destroyed it, it reached 30,000 square feet. And he said, "Wow, how do they breathe?" You know, that's what they use to channel, move air about within the system. It is so big that it will take you several years to walk up. And there are cities inside. As you go up, there are cities all along. So it takes you several years to go up and several years to come down. So you're not talking about our modern buildings. These are huge, gigantic things. And they build that against the Lord's will. In the tribulation, that's what the enemy will try to do. And he will try build, and the place where he built was where we have now this place was that they built was before the earth broke up into the continents. The earth was Pangaea, one land mass. But the rough area that is there, take away all the seas and push the land together, was roughly where Turkey is and where the seven churches and Pergamos is. That's a rough area. So spiritually, that area is significant to the enemy. That is why over time, Pergamos became Satan's throne. He remembered, that's where he wanted to make his mark. And we have dethroned him on February the 9th, 2012. The glory of God is there. Now, as long as we are in the church age, that glory remains, enhanced by all the New Jerusalem glory and all the seven times glory, enhanced through the angel of Pergamos. And after the rapture, the only place that will have glory is where Madaba is, Mount Nebo. Even Australia, all will be gone. And so the Antichrist, after the rapture, the first thing the Antichrist do is enter into Australia. Conquer it back. And you know the place after the rapture, Pergamos also all gone. We already move. Except the Lord remains there until rapture takes place. And then is surrendered over because it evacuate. The enemy goes back there to build. And because they use supernatural methods, I think you have the vision of that. It's pretty high. 1/3, you said, right?
1/3 is almost 2/3.
Almost 1/3 to 2/3.
It's
1/3 to 2/3. Not as high as previously, but 1/3 to 2/3 of the previous month. So 1/3 will be 10,000 feet. 2/3 will be 20,000 feet. That's high. And when they build that, Enoch and Elijah will come and call fire. And imagine when the fire come and consume the whole building. And so when Aruel was talking to me about that, he says, "Oh, I saw this. They rebuild in the tribulation years the Tower of Babel." Then it struck something in me that I saw that also, but it relates to the Bible about a mountain burning. And then I said, there is a Bible verse where the mountain is burning. And then he says, okay. He didn't see the mountain cast into the sea, but the verse says mountain cast into the sea. So let's look at that verse in the book of Revelations. And that is during the time of the trumpets.
So what you're casting sea.
Yes. Then after the verse, then you saw it again. Right. That's how the dialogue helps the download. So when he said it, I said, okay, there is this remembrance of this burning mountain. And I say, because I saw it, I think we're talking about the same thing. Then when we compare Revelations, then it fulfilled this verse. And then when we brought up this verse where the seven trumpets were blown in chapter 8, verse 8. The second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. This great mountain did not come from the meteorites. This mountain is the rebuilt Tower of Babel. So when we compare Revelation, I say, I saw a burning mountain, he saw it being built. We look at the book of Revelation, and then he looked at his vision again, and he saw this mountain cast into the sea. And then, remember, every verse in the Bible is fulfilled. So far, no one has actually exercised faith to move a physical mountain and cast it into the sea. Enoch and Elijah had the privilege. In our time or church age, I don't think it's necessary for us to do that. But they had that privilege. When they command a mountain to be cast into the sea, and the mountain, the whole mountain, 10,000, 20,000 feet, was cast into the sea in a moment. And that is when a lot of things died. The climate and all this change. And don't forget that before that, already a third of the trees and grass all burned up. All kinds of judgment. Now, I mentioned this so that we know how much the enemy hated Enoch and Elijah. Then they do something, these people stop them. They keep stopping them. Keep calling down fire and all those things, stopping them for 1,260 days. So by the time God finally allowed them to be killed, you see in chapter 11, they were sending Christmas gifts to one another. Congratulations. Yeah, look at chapter 11. Yeah, celebration. I mean, these fellows have been tormenting the enemy in chapter 11. And you see there, it says, verse 10, chapter 11, verse 10. Those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them. Make merry. See, make merry. You know, we wish you a merry. Whatever that is. No more Christmas. Of course, when Christ got there, they won't have Christmas. So they don't know what to wish each other. You know, we wish you a merry, merry. Whatever. They rejoice. They send gifts to one another. And to add one more fact, why they are so upset at Enoch and Elijah? You remember the wound that the Antichrist had? Say, what wound? Where? When? How? Which? Who? All in Revelation 13. Look at Revelation 13. Revelation 13. We talk about the Antichrist and the false prophet. And then you see in verse 3, I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded. And his deadly wound was healed. Can you see? Now, we have always interpreted that to be the Roman Empire. Mortally wounded. And then the Roman Empire revised, RRV, revised Roman Empire, through the ten horns. Yes, I would say that could be an interpretation. But there is also on top of that a literal interpretation. Because I saw the Antichrist was wounded. Oh yeah, his handsome face got. You say, well, how can you call him handsome? He actually, in the human way, looks nice. Because the enemy is deceptive. Now, when they look nice, they have to hide the hideous part somewhere else. So, a transference of energy away. And then, more about the Antichrist. The Antichrist will be bisexual. So, because he's a peacemaker and all that, and then he'll be bisexual. So that's who he is. He will attract, and a lot of women will fall in love with him, obviously. And a lot of men also fall in love with him. He's bisexual. And something happened to his earthly, so let me define it, right? Earthly handsome face. Spiritual face, horrible. At first, when I was looking, I said, I wonder whether the glorious church did that to him. It'd be interesting if the glorious church did that to him, you know. You know, maybe one of you pray very hard. Was it you, Elijah? No, okay. You are Elijah? Oh, excuse me. Okay. Then as I look again, he said, you know, remember I was preaching here, wasn't it? The last overnight prayer. And then I said something like, possibly we did that to him. You know what happened? The night after I finished preaching, then we read out, and then we began prayer, Enoch and Elijah came and said, it's not you, it's us. I said, I will correct it today. So yeah, Enoch, Elijah, you're hearing, okay. It's not us, it's them. Okay, thank you very much, you know. So, it was done by them. Most likely related to this incident. When this mountain burned. So we do not know how it is. You know, somewhere maybe the Antichrist stand in his pride. You know, all the people worship him as God. Those who don't worship are slaughtered. And those who believe in Christ, you know, Elijah pushed to that tiny little place. And there he is building his great tower that is there. You know, who knows, as he's admiring the place like Nebuchadnezzar. Not admiring, oh. Then of all the time, you know, Enoch and Elijah, especially Elijah, always choose the most significant time to say hello. So just when they're at that point, Elijah begins to call down and the fire. The fire came down as he goes, you know, in a moment, you know, the whole thing, and then he went, and then maybe just a tiny piece go. And don't forget, it was a mortal wound. So if the devil had any emergency, it would be, here come the, you know, to carry the Antichrist away. And somehow the false prophet managed to get him back again. But it was a significant blow. So these are some of the interesting events. So when you start looking at this and these events that take place, my friends, in the tribulation, you can ask a lot of Christians who are the post-trib and mid-trib, who actually go through either part of it or go to full of it, say, are you still interested to go through? It's not like the normal world. It's not normal anymore. They think that the tribulation is just more of the same. Or what they see. It's nothing like that. It's totally different. It belongs to a totally, it's not our era. Our era ended at the rapture. It belonged to the era, you know, Elijah. So those are some of the things that happened. And they finally succeed in doing something else. They succeeded in trying to play around with DNA like they did in Genesis chapter 6. Remember, angels intermarry with humans and they produce giants. And I said that before, that in the tribulation, they will produce angels who mix their genes with humans again, and they will produce giants. You are giants in the land again. But it won't be as tall as some of the giants produced in the time of Noah. In the time of Noah, some of them are 10 stories tall. And that's tall. And then the tallest that we've seen is the shortest among the giants were 3-story tall, which is still quite big. And then others are up to about 5-story tall, which is still reasonably big. But there's some more things that they do. In the time of Noah, they also mix with the DNA of animals. So you have things like we have in mythology, you have like a human head with a horse body, and you have all this mixture that is vile to God. And so Israel saw some visions recently of this time, and then he asked me, are these actually happening? And I said, yeah, it's a repeat of the time of Noah. But what he saw was an interesting creature that they came up with. A mixture with a lion head and a serpent tail. And these are all the creatures that are created, mixed by them. So he asked me, are there any animals in the tribulation? None. Even animals don't want to go to tribulation. They probably say, please, Lord. India, cat, dog language or whatever animal. Meow! And God must answer all the prayers and say, all right. No animals go to rapture. And yet some Christians want to go to the rapture. I might go to the tribulation. They had no idea. So some of them are pet cats and pet dogs. So who knows? This is not going to really happen. But if really it happens, they go to the tribulation and say, hey, where's my cat dog? Hey, pet dog. And they could see then the spirit say bye-bye.
Bye, master.
Because none of them want to go. You know why none of them want to go? They might be slaughtered, mutated. So the cat doesn't want to go through the tribulation in case he ends up with half his body like a serpent. Horrible thing. And here's the thing. Humans couldn't kill these creatures. Because they were endowed with supernatural powers from the fallen angel. And so, right, you're weeping for the animals. You love the animals. Right? I'm glad my dog is already up there. You know? Some of you in the heaven. Yeah, you haven't seen my dog yet, have you? Oh, yeah, I forget. He's there in my mansion up there and he roams about. Oh, yeah, he was the one who licked you all over, was it? Not you. Okay. Oh, he licked Jehuda all over. Yeah, that's right. Say more anointing. Okay. Thank God that we don't impart anointing by leaking. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Say, you want some anointing? Say, thank you, Lord. No, thank you. No, thank you. Alright. So so the animals doesn't want to go through the tribulation. Because they know all this mutation is taking place. Horrible thing. None of the animals want to go through. Any remaining animals that go through, all get marked by the enemy. And they play around with the genes. And the angel specializing in those things is the fallen angel called Semyaza. He, in the book of Enoch, his name is mentioned. And he is the one who say like he will. He's a master of turning roots, R-O-O-T-S. I think there's a translation problem into the English. The roots actually is talking about manipulation of DNA. See, in those days, they don't have our vocabulary, DNA. Huh? Where got such a vocabulary? And the Bible don't have such a word. They don't have our knowledge, our concept to describe things like laser beams and all those things. So that when we use these things, isn't it interesting that Jesus himself comes back and in our download, Jesus speaks English and says, of course Jesus can speak any language. And then Jesus come and say, you know, DNA healing. Oh, what Jesus knows about, you know, deoxynucleic acid, you know, DNA. What's the full word? Very long name. Oh, of course he knows. All knowledge came from him. But the roots that Semyaza handled in the book of Enoch had to do with DNA. Now, this, all these horrible things that are happening, and you know, when they create all these things, and when they're celebrating these animals that torment humans, here comes Elijah and Enoch. And again, they call on fire. All their hard work. Can you imagine? For 1,260 days, literally, Enoch and Elijah tormented the enemy. Just as Elijah tormented Jezebel and King Ahab. Remember, King Ahab was so tormented that he says, when he saw Elijah, Elijah says, just stands there. And remember Ahab's greeting to him? Oh, how are you, my enemy? Like, like his opponent. Hi, my opponent. Hi, my enemy. And so he's so tormented. That is why when finally, after they were tormented, everything they tried to do, burn up. Do this, burn up. Do that, burn up. Do that. Whoa, I tell you, it was a fire feast for Elijah. Fire feast. You know, he will be chum, chum, chum. And everywhere he walks, chum, chum, huh. You will love the show, but don't see it live. See it from the spirit realm. Don't go through a tribulation to see the show. So, it is an interesting time. How they torment the enemy. Which is why, when they died, God allowed them to be killed. And when they were allowed to be killed, you have this Christmas present sending things to one another in chapter 11. Let me reread that again in chapter 11. And Revelation chapter 11. That in verse 10, they were sending gifts to one another. Now, I haven't forgotten the other question. Say, what was the other question? Remember the 75 days plus 1,260. It says, blessed are those who come to those days. And we asked Enoch and Elijah about that. And they said, this was what they said. During the time that they are celebrating, this is already 1,260 days over. Then the countdown for 75 days began. So that during the 75 days, the first rapture, mid-tribulation rapture, take place. Enoch, Elijah, and 144,000 are raptured. When after 3 days, they were raised up. Shoo. And those who believe with them were also raptured up. But throughout the first 75 days after the mid-tribulation, there were pockets that also started to believe and still got a chance in 75 days. There was a grace period of 75 days. And when Enoch and Elijah was there, in the 3.5 days where the world was busy sending presents and all that, Jeremiah the prophet appeared. Jeremiah the prophet appeared. And he takes the Ark of the Covenant. Because he was the one who hid the Ark of the Covenant. He takes the Ark of the Covenant. We actually know where the Ark of the Covenant is. Don't go and look for it. It is not in Jerusalem. So all your stories of Jerusalem, how when Jesus died and his blood dripped right under the Ark, hidden right. So, beautiful, touching, moving story. If you got converted by it, please don't get unconverted after this. Beautiful story. But the ark is not there. It's been moved by Jeremiah across the Jordan. In the country of Jordan. Because we know where it is, we were going to go there and build an altar years ago when we knew. Jeremiah appeared and said, so, okay, we won't go near. Not for us. And the ark will be revealed after the rapture. When you know Elijah. Which adds a fifth event. If you don't count the earlier event as a fifth. Remember 30 days before? And then, shoom, kah, boom, and then, ta-da! And then now you got one more. What can I use for the art reveal? Oh, thank you, Elijah. Okay, thank you. Okay, there you go. Okay. So, the art will be unveiled. The art will be unveiled. And all the Jews will go there. Those who believe in God. When they discover. The ark has been revealed. So there was shoop, shoop, kip, boom, ta-da, pa-pa-ro-da. I can't make it exactly like you. Okay. There's a revelation of the ark. And the glory of God will come. Because remember, in the Jewish covenant, the ark is the most important. The ark is the most important. Even though in Jesus' time in the temple, they still haven't discovered the ark. And it was all symbolic. The Holy of Holies. There's nothing inside there. Once Jeremiah hid the ark, no one found it again. But it will be unveiled and it will remain where it is. It will remain where it is and that will be there. To and fro. Then, on the day that this, you know, Elijah lay dead while the world is busy, Jeremiah appeared. And they have a procession. Now the enemy will be so busy and he think, oh, that's another procession. Because it looks like the world is celebrating. Wow, they are marching in the streets. They're here giving presents. Everyone singing in the street, singing in the rain, or whatever they want to do. You know? And then they have all over. There is a procession by Jeremiah carrying the ark. All the way from his hidden place to Mount Nebo, Madaba. And then as they all gather, when all of the last remnants of survivors gather there, at the end of 75 days, 75 days after 1260 days, the last and final mid-tribulation rapture. And the ark is also raptured. God took the ark. He's not going to leave it behind. The ark that is from Moses' time got raptured too. Phew. I could imagine Moses saying, thank you, Lord. That ark has been with me for so long. Throughout all his time. And he was the one who saw the construction of the ark. The ark got raptured. Mid-tribulation rapture. And once this rapture takes place, the earth was changed. No more. It's like volcanic ground. Everything was gone. Now this is the extent of the evil that we see. What the enemy wants to do. And the other fallen angel, Eskil, specialized in the perversions of humanity. Seduction is his specialty. The worst of them is Apollyon is only released in the tribulation. When the seven seals are broken and the trumpets are broken, are sounded, then only he starts appearing. Sometime into the tribulation. But we know Satan already was cast down. All those events, simultaneously, so many things were happening. And all the worst of evil. One thing we know, that the pushing back of fallen angels has started from the time that we have started building altars. And then it was fully released when we started building the U.S. altars. And then the march, they started pushing it back all the, under the boundary line between the pristine and the warfare zone. It's just around our planet Earth, just around our moon and solar system nearby. So the boundary, of course, is not a thick line, not just a thin line. And so you could imagine that during the tribulation, it's pushed all the way down, away from the atmosphere of the earth. So that Satan is boxed up on the planet earth with all his fallen angels. All the wanted angels that fell are all boxed up together. Only on planet earth. A horrifying time during that time. Having seen the worst of it and what he's trying to do, we step backwards to this church age. And here's my question. Why can't he do what he do in a tribulation now? Right? What's stopping him from doing that? After all, in 2027, two of the fallen angels are released, Samyaza and SQ. Why can't he do it now? In our time. That is where I want you to see the power of the glorious church. See, we give you all the bad news first. Then you see how horrible and powerful things that he did. And Enoch and Elijah no doubt resist powerfully. But Enoch and Elijah's resistance was different. He was allowed to do it and then they destroy it. But we are different. We are different. Why couldn't he do it in our time? Besides God saying that it's time for the church to rule and reign. And besides 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that says that unless he that is holding him back is taken out of the way, the enemy cannot do what he wants. We know all those verses. So I'm not repeating those verses that you know by heart. Reason number one. It is because as bad as the enemy is, you see the world that he tried to create. And this is our super calling. Number one, he allowed the church age to recreate a pristine universe section here on the planet Earth. Yes. Our calling is far wider than just defeating the enemy. Why is it that we allow New Jerusalem glory for the healing of the nations? There's no healing of the nations in the millennium. By the millennium, you don't even have a necessarily a pristine thing. You don't even have a boundary. There's no devil. It's locked up. You have such a thing as pristine warfare and boundary. Only as long as there's warfare, then you need boundary, then you need pristine. By the mercies of God. The reason why the pristine angels are allowed to come, and remember there are three angels that over the planet Earth, and they are still over the planet Earth, and they complete their work when we finish the altar building in the seven nations. Which was last year. Was it only last year? Wow, time has passed. Only last year. Only last year we finished the altar building here and in Greece and in London. Three of them. The pristine one, there are 30 angels visited us in August 2012. The 30 angels from the universe, from different sections, visited us. 10 of them came from the pristine side, 10 from the warfare zone, 10 from the boundary zone. We are in the warfare zone. And these are our classifications of them. They might have a different word for that. Then, when they visited us in 2012, and when they returned back to their various section, they formed some sort of a highway. And one each of them remained over the earth. Their names have been given, all the 30 names have been given to us. The one that is over the planet Earth is above the area of Ayers Rock in Australia, up above, right into the stratosphere, ionosphere, is Suramael. He is from the pristine section. There is one, the boundary one, called Rafi Ba'al. He is over Israel. And he's above the area of Israel, energizing Jerusalem and energizing all those areas. And then there's one of the warfare zone who is over Russia. His name is Akaraka'al. They form a triangle. Was it this year that we made the secret? This year? Last year we made the secret trip. and did a little triangle thing that it asked us to do, which was linked to this triangle. And it is to re-energize all these things. And their work is complete. And they call this what I call the highway or the tunnel or the connection between the universe and the earth through these three portals. Three portals are open. And it's since then that they push all the darkness onto the planet earth. But at the same time, the glorious church is rising. And one of our blessings on this earth is to have a semblance of creating a pristine section. That is greater than we may ever imagine. In the pristine section, you will have boundary angels. That is why the angels will appear. Now, in the tribulation, all the angels are visible. There is no invisible realm anymore. The changeover didn't begin in the tribulation. The changeover began in 2029. In 2029, when the whole earth shakes, and when the whole earth shakes, this is so great a shaking. At first we think it's just earthquakes and tsunami. Tsunami which we have never seen before, 100 story tall. Where we talk about it, so I won't repeat. But this is like, I call that in our modern Bible times, like a second major shift. You see, when was the first major shift? The first major shift was during the time of Noah. During the time of Noah, and up to the time of Noah, the earth was still surrounded, even though it has fallen, it still had this crystal clear layer of water over the earth. And the earth was perfect, there's no hot, no cold, even though evil was running wild. God hasn't judged yet. It was changing, but not. God still held it back a bit. And the earth revolved perfectly 360 days. There was no tilt on the earth. But in Noah's time, as I preached before, four things happened. The water layer disappeared. So it was a different sun. Remember, when the Bible says they had never seen rain before, it means it's a different type of planet. So don't imagine Noah with our modern fallen world. It's beyond your imagination. There was a crystal layer above the earth and they don't need rain. The dew that formed in the morning was so thick, it was like somebody watered the grass. So you don't need rain. That's how the plant survived. Not by rain. The dew was so much. It was like, that's it, somebody had just watered the garden every day. And the second thing that took place beside the water layer disappearing was the tilt of the earth. Suddenly God mentioned, as the earth remains, there will be summer and winter, cold and hot. So you got the four seasons. The four seasons, anyone with geographical knowledge knows, is caused by the tilt of the earth. Because the earth moves as in a constant way, and of course it revolves around its own axis. I'm just showing the tilt. Here's the sun, you know. When it moves around the sun, the tilt that is facing the sun is summer. Tilt that is facing away from the sun is roughly, the tilt is about 23 degrees or something like that. And then sometimes it shifts 23, 24, 25. So that tilt, the part that is away is winter. Then because it remains in the same position, a tilt, when it moves this way, the southern hemisphere is now having summer. the northern hemisphere is tilted away, it's not having its winter. And then when it's sideways like that, then you have your autumn, we have our spring. But when it is this way, okay, that's again the top part is summer, bottom part is winter. Come this way, okay, one part is spring, one part is summer, because we only call spring and summer in the change of how, whether, you know, from winter to coming out, we always call it spring. And then summer going colder, we call it autumn. It's just our names for it, but actually it's roughly the same present nice weather that we all have. And most of us enjoy that part. So we realize that's the tilt of the earth. The third major change, because the world was so different, when Noah stepped out, he saw the first rainbow. So you can imagine, if the earth had never had a rainbow before, then was the first rainbow, the sky looks different. There were no clouds, nothing. Now there are clouds, and now there are water vapor in the air that produces the scientific rainbow. And the third major thing, because of all the differences and the new radiation that come forth, human diet changed. We ate meat for the first time. So I could imagine all Noah's grandkids. I mean, his kids were with him when he built the ark. So his grandkids and great-grandkids, when they feed the kids, actually they ate so his son. And then Noah slaughtered this animal and put it in front of them. Dad, what is that? Steak. Yucks! Give me an apple! Now today we are reverse. Have you ever tried going on a no-meat diet? Right. So, they are not used to eating meat. They have to adapt to meat. Diet change. That is why in the time of Noah, after the days of the flood, the lifespan became around 400-500. Before that, it was about 800-900. Cut in half. Then there was a third major event that started in the time of Noah that spread lower to the time generations later, but it's already erupting. It's called the dividing of the earth. Today we call it the drifting continents. Pangaea broke up. In the days of Peleg, the earth was divided. When the earth was divided, it changed things again. So much. As you know, there are also poisonous things coming from underneath the earth as the earth opened up. One of them is radon gas and all that. And we are exposed to more elements that are inside the earth. They are hidden. The soil protects us from that. And as things are exposed, if you read carefully, you cannot escape this mathematical thing. From 800, 900 years old, Noah's flood. After that, 400-500. After the days of Peleg, from 400-500, it became 100-200 something. It's like another half. Until today, you know, by the time of Moses, 120, time of David, 70 years. So you realize how lifespan has changed. Four major events that changed. And these changes, my friends, are not just spiritual changes. There are thousands of spiritual changes that we've got no time to go through. These are natural changes. You know what the angels call 2029? Second shift. Oh, the earth will be different in 2029. After the tsunami, everything is different. It's like world weather is no more the same. One of the things that the angels reveal is that we will be suffering for more solar flares. And from my scientific time knowledge and discussing with Israel about what the angels are talking about, and because of all the solar flares, all our old satellite system all are going to go kaput. All our electronics have to be different. Everything changed. And you know, solar flares can affect lifespan. Solar flares can affect mutation. And so 2029 is another shift of the planet Earth. And it is possible that the tilt of the Earth slightly affected even a bit. Because don't forget, the Earth is shook again. And after 2029, angels become more visible. Men slowly begin to see open vision. That means they will see another world that has been invisible to us since the time of Noah. The reason why people don't believe those things exist is because they don't see them, correct? So suddenly after 2029, of course it might not be all suddenly at once, they say, wow, there's this group of people that exist around us all the time. What are they? Who are they? And that's when we enter the age of the supernatural. Which will be interesting for you, because if a demon is around, you can see the demon. Say, hey. Of course, don't talk to them. Say, wait. You say, hey, say, you're not supposed to be here or something like that. And remember I said about how you can grow so much in God that just the power of your thoughts can drive them away. So you don't have to waste so much time commanding and talking to them. Because if you can really see them, you realize how many of them are hanging around. So imagine each time you go shopping. all this around. And they are, and here's the statistics. There are about 10 times more angels, good and bad, present on the earth than humans. Not counting demons and earthbound spirits. Suddenly the earth looks very crowded. It is a different world. Now, here's the thing. In that world, the glorious church create pristine areas which the enemy cannot win. Because we have mini boundaries. Mini pristine section. You can be assured all the 10 base churches are in the pristine section. So the enemy cannot even go near. The refuge zones which we are in charge of, pristine section. You can be sure, even with open vision, and people can see them, they say, wow, nice area. No demon. No fallen angel. Why? Pristine! And in the pristine area, the laws work differently. Suddenly, for the first time, when they move from the warfare zone of the earth to the pristine section, it's like they walk in a different part of the planet. Because we will be harnessing all the spirit beings and all those things. So that is, I want to show how glorious the glorious church is. We are creating a pristine section because inside us are the leaves of healing from New Jerusalem glory. That we eat and we radiate the glory into the pristine section. And remember what the Lord says. That in Revelation chapter 21, no lie or no abomination can enter where the New Jerusalem glory is. That's how we create a pristine section and a glorious church. So remember I talked about Antichrist versus glorious church. Now you know how horrible the Antichrist is. Now in the meantime, outside the pristine section, remember, we got 2/3 of the world population. So the enemy is really a very tiny place. Push into tiny places. And in those places, we send people like Elijah. Some of you, Daniel, you can join too if you want. Daniel or David. And you can go forth and you'll be like Elijah and you'll be holding up your rod because the enemy will try to do smaller things. And every time they make some stone or try to do something to do with the stone, before they could even move one stone, we will know it because we will know it by the Lord. Not a single atom can move without us knowing. And someone will just appear, transported by the Spirit, appear there, call down fire, shkum. So in the midst of the enemy and Baal worshippers about to do something and do something a little bit, here you suddenly appear, call down fire, shkum, and then disappear. Huh? So that's how the warfare zone taking place. And that's the reason why the enemy cannot succeed in the church age. And that's why all his ability to succeed is pushed to after the church goes home. Because we are more than troubling him. You see, two guys plus 144,000 tormented him, correct? We are 6 billion strong. We don't just torment him. There are areas that we are his no entry zone. So whatever he does, they go, and then they thought we are here. But they go, boom, what is this invisible thing? Oh, we are here, but the boundary is here. Because remember, to have the pristine zone, you must have a boundary zone. And our boundary zone is not exactly 1 centimeter from the pristine zone. No way, Jose. Our boundary zone is very thick, way out there. In fact, you know where our boundary zone is? 1 centimeter from the warfare zone. The opposite. So the enemy got not much room to maneuver. And that's the first greatness of the glorious church, in which the glory of the Lord will be so powerful, the light so powerful. Say, why can't he enter? Because we make it a holy place. And no demons can enter the holy place. By the pristine area is holy of holies and holiest of all. So we mark those places and make it holy, and the enemy cannot come in. The only way they can move is when we do the retreat, like Jesus sound, when before the rapture. Only when we yield. That's where I like your words, yield. You're not driving around, you all got this sign that say, yield. You ain't come from a British educated place. Say, yield. Then I laugh. You know, when Israel was driving me, we were parking at the airport. He say, yield to traffic. You know? What did he say actually? He just say, yield or something. Then I say, in Australia, we say, give way. Because I say, can you imagine me shouting out the window and say, sir, I yield to you. I said, it sounds more correct in English. Sir, I give way to you. So you're at the window say, I yield, my good sir, to you. Say, what? No, say, what, you yield? No, my car yield to you. So, you use the word yield, not give way. So, so that's where the only way the enemy can have place is where we give room. Otherwise, he's compressed. And we keep pushing forth and pushing forth. And wherever he tries to break the boundaries, that is where some of us are going forth to different things, empowered. And let's read some scriptures in this area in the book of Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. And in Isaiah chapter 60, it says here, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Now, I can tell you this. If they can see angels, both fallen and real angels, they can also see the glory on you, the light of God that is upon you. And so what will happen? And there will actually be visible angels guarding our, together with us, there will be visible angels guarding our refuge zone. So when the enemy tries anything, the angels themselves will also begin to take action. There will definitely be, on the planet Earth itself, there are areas called pristine, areas called boundary, areas called warfare. We divide the earth. That is why that warfare is so powerful, and what God has decreed that Satan couldn't do as much as he did. Whereas in a tribulation, the only area that you can qualify equivalent to our pristine is the area of Moab, Edom, and Ammon. Tiny section of the earth, you look at the map, and the whole world is in darkness. But in the church age, even though there is darkness and darkness started to come, the Lord arise over us, and look at verse 3. The Gentiles come to your light. Kings to the brightness of your rising. Everywhere where we are, there's light. And only places where the Lord says, don't go, that is the darkness area. It's the opposite. We are in the church age, the last revival here, compared to the tribulation. Everywhere is lighted up, and there are sections that are dark. In the tribulation, everywhere is dark, there is one section that is light. Can you see the contrast? And that is why the enemy cannot do as much. Because it cannot harness as much energy or darkness. So it's limited. Because all energy has to come from somewhere. And all that somewhere energy has to come from a twisting of the original energy that comes from God. Because energy cannot create, he can only pervert. There's not enough darkness for him to create anything. Because we keep stopping him. That is our privilege. And there are many more things. And don't forget that right towards the end part, I like one tiny end part there. Right towards the end. When you talk about all those wonderful things, it's a long, long section. No, your gates, your walls are salvation, your gates are praise. The sun shall no longer be your light by day. We don't even need the sun. That is powerful. In fact, during the 2019, when the whole electricity system collapsed in the world, Israel had a vision where in the auditorium, no light, and our services have to go on, and we just have to stand there, and then all the light came. Say, where? We are the light. We are the light. We produce, the spiritual light become a natural light. And the darkness disappear. So, verse 20. Your sun shall no longer go down. We literally create sunshine. Nor shall the moon withdraw itself. For the Lord will be your everlasting light. And your people are all righteous. And this is the part I like. In verse 22. A little one, the smallest one among us, shall be 1,000. A small one, the tiniest toenail, symbolically speaking. You know, some people say that, you know, prophets could be the eyes and teachers could be the ears, kind of different thing. And then someone will say, I am so small in the body of Christ. How small? You know, you look at the tiniest little toe on the feet. Oh, you're talking about the 10 toes. In the days of the 10 toes, yes. See, no, but in the days of the 10 toes, I am the tiniest little toe. Wait, don't, you don't want to be the 10 toes. You're not one of the 10 tigers. But you're the body of Christ. And they say, I'm the tiniest toe. And not just the tiniest toe. I'm just one part of the toenail of the tiny toe of Jesus' body. Doesn't matter. The smallest among you will rule a nation. Wow. That is why the enemy cannot do anything. And by the way, every word of God has to be fulfilled, correct? Every word of God has to be fulfilled. It is impossible for Israel to fulfill this verse. We know because we know we are in the end time. We know what's going to happen to Israel. And I give you, last week I gave you some deadlines, right? 2048. In none of them does Israel become great. They have reached the greatest they could ever be. Not to this extent. And in the tribulation, we know what happened. They all had to move out of Israel proper because the enemy goes and builds his temple there. So, this was never get fulfilled in literal Israel. It get fulfilled in spiritual Israel, the church. The other spiritual sons of Abraham. Which Paul says, not every Jew is a true Jew. He referred to spiritual Israel. And we are joined to the same root. We are the other olive tree. As mentioned in the book of Romans. We do not despise the heritage of the Jews. Because we still regard them as people who share the covenant. And the gospel needs to reach them too. But they have their own destiny. And I can guarantee you, Isaiah 60 in fullness, that's for us. That's for us. And the way the Lord has said, starting from July, the outpouring that starts here, by the third to the fourth year, it reached all over the world. And remember, the last 7 years, we are 7 times 7. We are finishing the first 7. Remember how I mentioned that the first 7 years fulfill chapter 60? Look at the timeline. By 2020, this has reached its fullness. All the 10,000 churches are planted. All the areas are established. This revival has gone forth. And we know from visions, DNA healing, miracles, dwarf healing, signs, wonders, all has taken place. The Lord indeed is good. Now you say, is there anything better than that? One last thing. One more last thing. And this is an interesting thing. I have to tell a story behind it. So, just stand up and say hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Okay, thank you. You may sit down again. Okay, got to tell this story. When Adam was naming the animals, he didn't name finish all the animals before the fall occurred. Before the fall occurred. So he named roughly about 30%. It was 70% more. So in visions, we saw Adam naming the animals. And then after that, you know, sometimes he was with Eve. And then when they partook of the forbidden fruit, all the animals that were waiting to be named, like they were like some sort of spiritual form, transparent, translucent, all of them disappeared. So we thought they all died, that later God will recreate. Then in subsequent vision, when did we have the vision of Adam? You see, God very systematic in giving even downloads. That was during the time of the first altar building in Australia. That would be December it will have to be December, because started doing that in December. And that will be December 2012. That was before March. And then during that, we didn't know anything about Urialuzael or the Revelation 10 Archangel yet. So, in fact, I didn't know he was Revelation 10 until December of 2013. But when we went to the altar building towards December 2012, the Lord kept telling us, you must go to Ayers Rock. You must go to Ayers Rock. So he said, okay, we will go. And he says, the angels are waiting for you. There's some more things the Lord wants to reveal. So we never got there until March 2013. So when we went there, we met Urialuzael, who was the archangel over Australia, whom we found was the archangel over the planet. And he has always been archangel before the nations form and other archangels are assigned. And then he just kept himself in Australia. He has been standing in the same position, so when the earth moved, he also, you know, followed. And that's how he became in Australia. He just stayed with that continental drift. And so we were given his name. And when we were there, in my records, Suramael, who is above there, also came and made appearance and visited. Then when we talked to him, we realized all the 70% of animals that were not named was absorbed into him. So he said, he's holding it for us. He's hold all the animal. Now spiritually, that can take place. It's interesting because it had what I call the resonance effect. Resonance effect is that when something is strong in the spirit, it began to produce a resonance in the natural world. And that's why when they take photo of your house, and you know, somebody say, was it? No, was it? Say, hey, is that an angel? No, that was bad. You know, the reflection that was behind is exactly in the shape of an angel standing there. So it's called a resonance effect. Sometimes it's a resonant effect become greater and greater, like William Branham, when they actually see a halo above him. The molecules about them begin to take a resonance effect. That mainly in Australia, I won't say that's the only place, but mainly in Australia, most of the animals are marsupials. Say, okay. Marsupials are animals that have pouches. You know, our famous kangaroo. And then we got a wallaby, which is the size of a kangaroo, smaller size, but look exactly like a kangaroo, but different color. And all the animals have pouches. A lot of animals have pouches. We have one tiny little thing that looks like a mouse, also got a pouch. This is called the resonance effect. Because, you remember, nothing takes place in a country except that the angel over the country and the spirit being over the country permits. So when the main angel has this pouch, sorry, calling it pouch, no other human words, this pouch of animals, the resonant effect, all the animals begin to develop pouches in a survival. Resonance effect. And so he's been holding it. But then only when I'm here in these downloads that you have, that recently, was it when I'm here? When did he touch hands with you? Here, right? Yeah. So only when I came here in this trip, that Urialuzael came, and then he has this download with Iruel, because he has come to the place where God wants him to be. And he has to be when I come here, and then seal the opening of the place. And so in one of his downloads, when he met with Urialuzael, who is the archangel over the church, the planet Earth, which reminds me, I need to talk about COG Archangel and his history. I did mention it before. COG Archangel came from a dimension where they create worlds and civilization. Then when he was on the earth under training before he served with us today, that's why we are almost like empire over nation. He was the one giving ideas to David how to organize the whole country. And he's never worked with anybody else before. And he's been reserved specially for these end times. And because this end time is an empire of churches. So there is Uriel Uzziah, our angel over the planet Earth. When Uriel became fully grown into the seven thunders prophet to receive the prophecy, and he's the Revelation 10 archangel, remember? And then he sort of joined hands or put his hands upon Israel, and all the animals that were within Zion was passed on to him. So now we got to observe whether your kids start developing pouches. I can check whether Lorna has a pouch or you have a pouch. So all have been transferred to him. Now I was telling him something. I said that actually for that to happen, spiritually we have to grow to the size of our planet, which we are. That's why you actually have the ability to expand to the size of our planet. I see myself expand. To control the planet, you got to expand bigger than that which you control. And that takes future energy. That's why it translates to you. But then here's the message that is for all of us. And that one, I got to give you a scripture. Right, ready for a scripture. Nothing about a pouch, something different. Okay. Right. And isn't it interesting that when they do Noah's Ark, you saw Noah's Ark movies here and there, human scale? How come none of them got kangaroo jumping in? Have you noticed that? They forgot Australia. Australia, yeah, there are more animals than in most movies on Noah's Ark. And Hebrews chapter 2, which is a scripture I gave to Aruel because he asked me a question. And I told him, that was before this story about the animals, remember? And it was important that scripture was given to you first to create the faith to accept this. Then only he could transfer. See, everything is in order. Everything is in order. In Hebrews chapter 2, it tells us in verse 5. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak in subjection to angels. In other words, this entire planet was supposed to be under the domain of humans. And then this is the understanding. You know, all these are angels who are messengers of God, spirit beings who energize plants, animals, and all these things that I talk about. All of them are on temporary assignment after the fall. The original plan was that from the human race would come some humans who love plants. And then they tap into the energy of God for plants and they become plant specialists. Not like today, we have to work so hard to each area, but from the gift of the Spirit. And they can be just there and energize the plant by their presence and their prayers and their words. So let's say, and there are many types of plants. And here is how the world is organized by spirit beings. There are spirit beings over plants. Then under plants, there are subsets of spirit beings over different species of plants. So you could have a spirit being specialized in mango. So when that spirit being is around, your mangoes really grow to fullness. Only mangoes. Could be another spirit being energized. What's your favorite fruit? Avocados. So in their presence, it might energize them to the full state before the fall. Remember, before the fall, all the animals are huge. All the fruits are big. They're huge. And the horses today is only about half the size of normal horses. In Noah's time, I'm talking about. Huge. And so can you imagine how much it's energized? You have a little bit of that when God energized some of the promised land just for the Israelites to experience. Remember, it took two men to carry one bundle of grapes. That's how big it was. And wouldn't it be nice? Nowadays, the grapes that you have, the big and all that, they are artificially induced. In a natural state, they don't grow so big. They sort of put some growth chemicals on it. And but they are getting bigger and bigger. Can you imagine next time you say, you know, pass me that grape? And you say, oh, say, why need two hands? It's the size of a watermelon. Can you imagine eating one grape as a watermelon? And so you never knew how big things can be or how is it can be energized. And so if that's the size of grape, how about your avocado now? Okay. Can you please use that forklift machine to bring the avocado over here? Right. Okay. Then, so you all these species of animals, plants, each one's pretty big. Now, originally, this role belonged to humans. That is why some humans love animals. They have a DNA to work like spirit beings in that area. And then there are different, and then among the angels in charge of different things also, different departments, different powers, everything. And in the millennium, in fact, the world and planet is absent of angels. Angels return back to their former vocation. All the angels and spirit beings have been seconded here after man's fall. And they are waiting for the human race to rise up to replace them on the planet. Didn't it say this whole world belongs to humans in a perfect way? So can you imagine? Now you know why 6 billion people and more, plus all those from who know Christ and the human race until today, got a lot of work, a lot of job. Not all of us are going to be, you know, 6 billion apostles. There's no congregation. No, there's a lot of specialization. And that explains why some of you right now, no matter how glorified you are, you still feel the affinity to plants, to animals, fire, water, specialization. And all this, when will this transference begin? Well, take a guess. How long do you think God is going to let him keep that pouch? Until the millennium? Why should he carry the pouch under the millennium? Think, my brethren, think. If he is to keep the pouch until the millennium, Uriel-Uzayel might as well hold it. There is only one reason why it's transferred in February this year. From now until the rapture, everyone will have a spirit being or angel who will now teach you your specialty. I pause for a while, let us sing it. So that by the rapture, why you think he's going to be raptured with a pouch? No. Although we saw them involved in creative process, but when you and Jehuda, all that do part of the creative process, and then others come and name, and different things happen to them, and life imparted, it is also the energizing from all these believers who serve like spirit beings and serve like angels. And what you all are doing is actually an orchestra. But it's not an orchestra of music, although there will also be music. It's an orchestra of creation. So when it comes time to fill part of the earth after we take over in Jesus' second coming to create the millennium, there will be some, and you will be doing things. There will be those who love grass, who have the spirit being of grass training them in this revival. And when you, so you and Jehuda are like helping to orchestrate the thing, which the Lord will open your eyes to see, you see the energy flow forth. And they can look invisible, and the grass came forth for all the energizing of humans who serve like spirit beings and angels. Each one finding our place. By the rapture, his pouch is gone. Every one of you have different things. Some of you who are not in yet, who will come in, perhaps some of you already have. And you will have a specialization. Of course, some of you are asking in your mind, do I have only one spirit being? Am I only in charge of grass? Ah? Because not all the human race are present, you yourself might be given two or three things and then later impart to others who are dead in Christ and who will come and will be part of doing different things. Or some not even born yet. And all this specialization. And guess what? Where is the testing done? In this dispensation. Why do you think God's going to let you experiment in a millennium? You think the millennium is a laboratory where you can make mistakes? No way, Jose! Then no more mistakes allowed. Mistakes are only made by those who fall. It's a perfect world. That is point number two of the glory shift. In this dispensation, you are allowed to do your part. The spirit being by joint. That's why we're going to have expert horticulturalists who don't just use human knowledge or knowledge that they learn from 3 years of learning horticultural degree. Added to that will be the knowledge that comes from spirit being. And the spirit being will join with them. And then when we have our farms and we plant, farm must have avocado, right? Yeah, okay. So we will have a person who is touched by the spirit. I was going to say spirit or avocado, but doesn't sound right. Doesn't come out right. A spirit being who can energize avocados. And because he can tap into the energy, it blooms. Not only that, there will be those who are touched by the Lord who contact even deeper spirit beings who can create fertile earth from infertile earth. And they can change the texture and the minerals. Because each mineral is in charge by a spirit being. That's how the Antichrist and the false prophet turn matter into gold. We do better. There are people who can create gold if they want to. But you can't eat gold. So they create all the best elements for the soil, for the earth to grow and produce food. That one, the false prophet cannot do. We do far greater signs and wonders. And all those are in our pristine section. So they say, hey, When we saw you that land, it was horrible. How did you do it? Did you buy fertilizer from somewhere? We ain't need no fertilization. You just bring a couple of them who are expert in soil, who have contacted the spirit to create all the elements. And they just go there and they pray. When they finish praying, the soil is richer than any soil on the planet Earth. Wow. Now your eyes are open to see some of the things that the glorious church are going to do. And it is in this dispensation that we're going to have the most wonderful time. You're literally, in some places, creating the Garden of Eden. That is why when we create universities, schools and all that, angels will come. In other words, we create, and besides that area, the third, which we don't have need to much stress much of a point, we create heaven on earth. Because we create heaven on earth, the enemy can't do anything. The pristine section is equivalent to heaven. It's heaven on earth. And because it's heaven on earth, angels can appear and do things. And what's happening in heaven? Training, schools and all that. So some of the heavenly schools are right here. And you say, whoa, I like to go to the school. So when some of you have your third generation and fourth generation, are you couples going to have, you already have kids, right? More kids? This revival? 12, football team? 20? 30? His eyes are growing big. You're not very sure about that. Okay. So, some of your children, if they are born, when these 10,000 churches are established and we got a refuge zone, and your children are born supernaturally also in some of these places that we have, and then your children are going to be like walking in the Garden of Eden. Say, Mom, whoa! This is heaven! And Mom and Pop will say, yes, my child, it is. But it is up. Yes, but not over here. Because this is a glorious church. Hallelujah. You're part of it. So can you see the power of the glorious church? I show you what the enemy can do, but all that he can do is push to after the tribulation. Most of it during the last 3.5 years after Enoch and Elijah are raptured. We are the opposite of what he is. He creates hell on earth, correct? Wouldn't be fair if no one create heaven on earth. Correct? Must balance. So I show his evil, then I show the Lord's mercy. He succeeded in creating hell on earth. Physical earth, the last 3.5 years. Literally a hell. We succeed in creating a heaven. Even the air is different. Because you got spirit being in charge of the air. The world can get polluted, but it reached that boundary zone. Remember where the boundary zone is? Right next to the forfeit zone. As you cross the boundary zone, even every molecule cross, if it's not meant for earth, bounce up. While this side create new molecules of pure, pristine atmosphere. The sky above, beautiful. You walk right outside to the boundary, to the warfare zone, you look, even the sky looks different. This was what the universe was like. We never get a chance to see because it was so big. All this transferred to the earth so that the earth is chopped up into different sections. Not exactly in a clean, clear-cut line. But parts of the earth are pristine, parts are boundary, parts are warfare zone. And the earth looks very different. If you look from outer space, you see patches of where the pristine sections are, and then there's areas of darkness, and the atmosphere, the sky, everything is different. On our side, beautiful, beautiful, and beautiful. Weather forecast, meteorologist, no job. See why? Why? It would be very boring for the next 7 times 5 years to say, and today's weather is super fine. Beautiful. Next day. Today's weather is super fine. What's the focus for the next 7 days? Fine, fine, super fine, super fine, and beautiful. No job. Because we all know what the weather will be like. There will be no tornadoes, even though they used to be. Once we take over those areas, there's nothing that can happen that's outside. I'm showing you the power and the glory of the glorious church. How powerful it is. Is that a question, waving or saying hallelujah at the back? Yes, if it's heaven on earth, there are angels right now, children's paradise. Wow, we have that. Specialization. Yes. It's like heaven. Anything you think about in heaven, get a chance to get duplicated on earth in this revival. This revival is going way beyond just salvation. It is something the world has never seen. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor enter the hearts of men. So now, you pray all night, because you can't sleep, you can see those visions. So it is all right if you're going to sigh the whole night. Just rejoice, and we are praying it all through. It's all going to happen in this great revival. So that's the conclusion. Question?
Yes. So the pouch is full of animals and plants. 75%.
70%. All returned back to the people.
Okay. And along
the same spirit being that was working will be educating and training in this time. You will actually work with the weather. Remember, I always talk about my weather angels. So some human beings will have weather angels working with them to talk about the weather, to control the weather, because that is their special gifting, to replace these angels. So in this revival, all the spirit beings and angels are looking forward to training. All of them actually are saying, we've been holding this for this human race. They took a long time to grow up. Every time they grew, they fight, became smaller. Kill one another, wars and all those things. And then they go worse. Finally, a group of human beings can get back again to God's perfection. And then they can slowly pass the job. If Urialuzael was a human being, after he passed the animals to you, he would say, hallelujah. But he was just cool and calm. Yes.
So since they've been passed down to Ariel, does that mean that he has to impact it into others?
Yes.
So if he doesn't impact, you can't.
Sometimes some others, like I could just draw from him and pass it to you, or some of the those among the 4 plus 4, 12, 30s and all that. So he doesn't have to physically impart. Can you imagine he's a physically impart? what plan are you? Okay, number 5,300,200,000 eggs. Right, we a long time. Little. No, you know, once it's done, the angels will just go and pull it out and put it there. Yeah, all over. It just happens simultaneously. Praise the Lord. By the way, are you avocado, man? Besides that. And I love avocados too, by the way. But here's a funny thing about America. You know, they got a small avocados that is big on one side, slowly taper off like a little pear. And then they got the big round ones. Your big round ones was only going for $1. And those are going for $3. I don't understand the mathematics here. Okay. You got more avocado, more to eat. And it's a dollar. And it's four times more meat. And then it's so small. And it's $3. Okay. No, it was, you know, they got the same avocados here. And I find that interesting. Yeah. Oh yeah, I forgot. Genetically modified. Okay. Okay. Thank you for that. Yeah. Okay. So, exciting times. So you can see the worst of enemy, the best of the church, which is what this message is all about. To contrast it so you can see clearly and see our part. In a way, the word versus is not accurate because there's nothing to versus, and he just pushed back. But it's a vocabulary in order to let people, because outside people who do not know the Lord, who don't catch this vision, are still thinking, for some Christians, they still think the enemy is winning. And we're always in the minority. One day we will be the majority. There'll be more born again on the planet Earth than those not born again. And these are the good news and good things that God has. So let's go to God in prayer. We enter into prayer. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy upon each one. Thank you for your revelations and all the goodness and mercy that you have for each one. Let's conclude this series, Father, on the glorious church versus the Antichrist. Let each one catch a glimpse of your glory, to know all the goodness of your mercies. And we give you, what can we say when we see all these things? But to say thank you. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love for us. And we will never forget. It's all made possible because of our Lord Jesus. Oh, we can do nothing without him. Without him, we are nothing. And all this is possible because he put his DNA into us. And we just let his DNA flow in fullness. To each one of us, Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy upon our lives. We bless you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and we're going to worship the Lord. And then we go into prayer. Thank you, Jesus. What else can we say about praise God, from whom all blessings flow? We men who have been made a little lower than the angels have been given a place higher than the angels. And we will serve together with the angels. And I've asked a lot, only over this recently, I say, Lord, all these angels need to be given some special rewards. They are. They are. Every one of them, spirit being angels who have seconded to this earth, God has a special thing for them. And so, that all heaven will rejoice in the birth of the human race as sons of God. Let's worship God. Praise God for whom all blessings flow. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. And we're going to dim the lights for prayer so you don't shine the eyes the whole night. And those of you online, we beg you, God bless you.